For most people, it never happens. But if you don't give up and keep practicing your skills, there will come a time when it all pays off and you get the fruit of your effort. That's what it's like calling black-tailed deer. Today, it's just me, Brian, but I wanted to tell you the story of how I called and killed my first black-tailed deer when I really had no idea what I was doing. Enjoy the story, and I hope that someday you get to experience the thrill of convincing a ruddy buck to walk right up to you. In 2015, I graduated my senior year of high school and received an old Winchester 30-06 as a graduation present. All throughout those years, I was an avid fisherman. Skipping class to go bass fishing in the local river was a common occurrence. As much as I loved spending my time casting into creeks, watching the birds fly by, something inside me longed to trade the fishing pole for a smoke pole and to leave the valley for the mountains that were visible from my front porch. As soon as I had my driver's license at 16, I began exploring the rainy woods, getting lost and wet on the weekends with my friends, but it wasn't until I was 18 that I got my first hunting license and my general rifle buck tag for Western Oregon. Something changes when you're in the forest in the pursuit of an animal. Call it instincts, call it heightened awareness. I fell in love with spending time in the trees with a purpose, and that purpose was meat. Tracking comes naturally to humans, and that particular mountainside where I cut my teeth as a hunter was packed with signs of life that I could follow around. From tracks to scat to rubs, there's a big learning curve in trying to find out the age of a track and what it means for the animal's movements. By 2015, there were plenty of resources online to learn from in the form of old hunting forums and Facebook groups, but there really was a lot less on YouTube than there is now about a decade later. Most of anything you would watch was all about whitetail, and I quickly learned that whitetail tactics just do not directly apply to blacktail. That is mostly due to habitat and behavior differences in mountain deer. Valley blacktail are a lot more like whitetails. One whitetail tactic that I tried to apply to my Western Oregon escapades that did surprisingly help me bag my first buck, though, is calling. To this day, I have not heard a blacktail doe bleat come from a real-life deer. Others have, but by pure providence from God, I managed to make the right noise at the right time and call in my first blacktail into about 10 yards. I didn't keep track of how many outings I took during that first buck season, but I went out almost daily, even if I only had a couple of hours of light left after work. This was also the season I did my first ever solo overnight trip and learned just how eerie the woods are after the sun goes down. Although I didn't have anyone to bring me hunting before I was old enough to take myself, I took the initiative to hunt alone with great effort. After nearly a full season, one person did take pity on me and brought me out on their brother's property to look for some bucks and show me some tricks. On that hunt, we didn't see a living thing, but I learned about still hunting, and he showed me the proper way to blow a doe bleat with my cheap flex-tone deer call. It was now the last weekend of deer season, and as a new hunter, I assumed this meant I would not fill my tag this year. But by now I've learned that 90% of rifle tags get filled in that last week. I was supposed to meet my hunting mentor in the morning on my own spot of public land that I had been hunting before. So I arrived at the gate 30 minutes before sunrise and waited. Time ticked on and he was nowhere to be found. I kept waiting as the sun rose, but I had no service to even figure out if he was coming at all. I knew if I hiked to the top of the mountain, I would get into some service, so I decided to start my hike. It was already light out, but I was still cold and there was a thick dew on the ground. This path I liked to take up the mountain was an old muddy road that cut diagonally across a massive, steep, clear-cut face and wrapped around the west to a small hollow before twisting around the back of the mountain and spitting out at the top of that same clear-cut. I had done this loop dozens of times this season and already knew exactly where I wanted to go. This time, though, I noticed some extremely fresh tracks in the clay heading directly down the middle of my path, so I slowed down and I went to stalk mode. For years when I told the story, I explained that there were two sets of tracks, one big, one small, and I believed for a long time that I ultimately killed the buck out of the small track, but with what I know now about tracking deer, it was likely a set of doe tracks and a set of buck tracks heading up the hillside together. Around every turn, I peeked as slow as possible and walked around the inside corner using my $50 binoculars to try and scan ahead of me and not bump any deer. The road was still wet from rains the night before, so these tracks were extremely visible and obviously from that morning. I was able to carefully follow them up the trail for an entire mile. In fact, it was a mile on the nose before the track turned 90 degrees and went right into the tree line. By that time in the morning, my climb through the clear cut was over and I had entered back into the woods. At this point in my hunting career, I had no wind checker, no mapping system, no knowledge of deer movement tendencies. I was just going off of pure in-the-moment intel and ignorantly blowing my doe call about every 100 yards. When I came to the point that the buck track left my trail, I felt as though I was getting close. The smaller tracks kept going straight down the path I was on, so I decided to crouch down behind a large scotch broom brush and call. Unintentionally, I set myself into a perfect position. The sun was beating on my back, I was concealed completely by the bush, and the thermal was still blowing down this dark wooded hollow below me. The track went up into the timber, and it was a steep embankment that wrapped up behind a big thicket of young alders. I sat facing directly up the hill where the bigger of the two tracks went, and the wide open trail continued straight out for a ways to my right. After letting the forest get used to my presence for about 2 minutes, I let out a gentle doe bleat and watched expectantly up the bank. After 30 seconds, I blew again. Silence. I didn't hear a single noise. Slowly turning my head to the right and scanning every inch as I spun on my knees, suddenly my heart stopped when I saw a hairy brown creature standing dead center in the middle of the trail, facing at me directly. It was a deer, only about 15 yards away. He was moving his head, trying to see through the bush I sat behind, and it was pretty obvious that he thought I was a doe, and he wanted to get a piece of me. Time slowed down, as it always does in those moments, and the buck stood still. My gun was nearing 50 years old at this point, and my scope seemed to be close to that same age. The zoom function was completely broken, and was stuck on the 3x setting. Since my gun was zeroed in at 100 yards, I knew I had to aim low, so I slowly poked my muzzle through the bush, checked for antlers one last time in the scope just to be sure. Yep, it was a buck. I shouldered my gun and brought the crosshairs back down almost to his knees to make up for the different trajectory of the bullet, and then I yanked the trigger, which is not something you're supposed to do. But I was so excited, I didn't even feel the kick, I didn't hear the bang. All that I noticed was the fact that my first buck hit the ground dead without moving an inch, and I had called it in. Immediately, I ran over and dropped on my knees next to the animal. I began to repeatedly say, "Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus." I had never taken the life of such a large animal, so I felt the need to step back and shoot again when the buck started his final death kicks. That's a common beginner's mistake. Luckily, that shot missed, but then I still made the beginner's decision to slit his throat. And slitting the throat of a shot deer does absolutely nothing, since all the blood has already bled out through a gigantic bullet wound. So all that I did was ruin some neck meat. After this, I sat, I prayed, I thanked God, and I got to work gutting. Just as tracking comes naturally to human beings looking for animals, butchering is second nature. And it was no problem at all to gut my first deer alone. I just thought of it as a giant chicken. I took a video, taking some bites of the raw heart right there in the woods, as is tradition. Although most do cook it first. It is a shame to kill a giant buck as your first. Luckily, I was spared the disappointment and was able to throw this fork and horn over my shoulders and stumble down the trail to a point that I could drive to. Unfortunately, at the moment, my truck was taken apart in my parents' garage for an engine rebuild, so I was stuck driving my old 1988 Honda Accord. It was quite the sight though, driving through town with a gutted buck tied to the hood. I did get many thumbs up and cheerful honks as I drove through my hometown to get the deer hung up and skinned. My grandpa, who I lived with at the time, didn't believe I would ever get a deer on my own and had offered to pay the butchering cost if I did. Luckily for me, he upheld his word that year, but now I butcher my own bucks at home. I learned so many important lessons during my first season blacktail hunting. To name just a few, if you're new at hunting, go by yourself. It's what separates the real self-driven hunters from those who will always be reliant on others for success. going out with a mentor is very helpful, but if you're only doing that and you're not going by yourself, you're missing out. Secondly, you don't need to start expensive. Start with the cheapest deer rifle you can get and just get out there and learn the animals. I shot mine in Walmart camo and hand-me-down hiking boots. Doe bleats can work. Just make sure to blow them lightly and sparingly, and be ready for a buck to materialize without making a sound. Keep your head on a swivel, but don't move too much. The buck is already going to be fixated on your location, so you want him to think you're a doe for as long as possible. When you pick a hide, make sure it doesn't prevent you from being able to see or point your weapon. This is especially challenging for bow hunters. And after you call, wait a good 5 minutes or even 10 minutes before moving on. I've sat for 30 minutes in the woods before calling on a set and had does come in after that amount of time to check me out. During the right time of season, bucks should be hanging out with those does and might just come into calls. I hope the story of my first buck interests you. If you want more stories like this, make sure to let us know you enjoyed it by reaching out via Instagram or Facebook. And as always, if you want to join us for fishing trips, hunting trips, or shooting events, join our club at Salem First Hunting and Fishing on Facebook to learn more.